Welcome to Taboo and Turn On. I'm your host, Natalie Bartanian, and this is a podcast where we have real talk about real things, where we shed light on taboo topics and explore what it truly means to live a turned on life. I'm so glad you've joined, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Music by bensound.com. So today on the podcast, I have Michelle Ann Owens. So I met Michelle, I want to say a couple of years ago. We were invited on to do a recorded series for a company, and Michelle was this amazing voice on the other end of the Skype microphone that was interviewing Bob and I. And since then, we've become dear friends and are lovers of learning and information, and definitely talking about things that you shouldn't be talking about, air quotes around shouldn't. So Michelle is the host and producer of her own podcast called Nothing Off Limits. So definitely check it out, people. She is an amazing voiceover talent and also an on-camera host. So if you need any of that as well, she is definitely the person to go to. She's super curious, super fun, super sweet and loving. And I couldn't be more excited to have her on today, especially to talk about what we're going to talk about. So welcome, Michelle.
Hey, great to be here. Natalie, you're awesome. Thank you for that amazing intro.
Thanks.
I really appreciate it.
I know. Don't you think sometimes of like, can I just have you follow me around and introduce me? I've had that feeling of like, can you just follow me around and introduce me to people? Because the way you say it, I sound fucking amazing.
Right? Yeah. And sometimes I think a lot of people experience this where they feel, not everyone, but most people, they just feel this kind of like discomfort with stating what they do and being like confident around it. If, you know, like I have a friend who is in film and he wants to be a director and hasn't really had a lot of experience around being a director. And so he has trouble saying, I'm a director. And I'm like, no, tell people you are a director. You are a director, you know, that kind of thing. So I think just owning it, hearing someone else say it is wonderful too. And so awesome. Thank you again.
Yes. Thank you so much. So I am a fan of just diving right in. So when we were obviously going back and forth around the invitation to come onto the podcast and I threw out some topics to you, the one that you brought up, I felt like, yes, let's dive in here. And so I'm just going to throw it over to you and just have you start the conversation. And we're just going to jam on this super important topic.
Yeah. So I don't even know really what to call the topic or how to encapsulate it, but I think it's surrounding being very careful about doing energetic work on yourself in terms of being ready for preparing yourself for a relationship. Mm-hmm. And so what I had emailed to you, I think was, you know, I think we should let people know that they need to have more self-awareness before doing a lot of work around opening up their feminine energy or their masculine energy before getting into a new relationship, because I think it could be, there are some warnings, you know, that should be heeded in terms of putting up the right boundaries and understanding what your own personal requirements are, because otherwise you could get kind of sucked into potentially a negative vortex where you're just trying to be so open, but you're getting pummeled by the other person because they're not in the same energetic space as you.
Oh, that's such a good point, because you're changing and growing. There is this assumption a lot of times that other people are going to be able to meet us and match us where we're at now in this new place, but that's not necessarily true most of the time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's so tough too, because you want them to be, because you're so excited about the growth that you're experiencing and you tell them about it and they seem to get it, but not really, you know? And so I think, the best way to kind of get it started is to talk just a little bit about what I had experienced personally.
Yes, I was hoping you would get into the story that spurred this conversation.
Yeah. So I had done a workshop related to sexual polarity and really learning how to access your feminine energies as well as your masculine, and really learn how to work with the partner of the opposite sex on bouncing those energies back and forth. Mm-hmm. And the workshop was fantastic. It mm-hmm. really opened me up on a lot of levels, but it was also, and this is upon reflection, like post reflection, yeah. was a very safe environment, in that the male partners that I had, and we switched partners several times throughout the workshop, were very gracious and held you in that space. Mm-hmm. So whatever happened to you during the exploration of your energies, an example would be at one point we had to just scream and yell at our partner, and he had to just stand there and be compassionate and let us. And in real life, that doesn't happen. So I came out of there like, wow, this is amazing. Right. And, you know, then when provoked and when put in a situation where I did tip over my own personal emotional edge and had an outburst of like, what is going on here? I wasn't met with that safe space. Mm-hmm. And it kind of went into a bad place. And so, you know, I think going back to what you said is, well, there are a couple things to this. I think having a partner who has been through the same type of energy work, right. Or exploration and is on the same page as you and gets it, I think is number one. Mm-hmm. I think number two is realizing that because this person may not be on the same level, you can explain all you want, but if they're not willing to put the effort and to go there with you and to really provide a safe space for you to be fully who you are, then you really need to make a hard decision as to whether you're going to move on or not, or if you want to put the work in. Because I dumbed myself down in that relationship as a result. And I was like, okay, this person's not ready for any of this stuff. And then I just kind of fell into old-fashioned ways of having a relationship, which was problematic.
Yeah, because you, to me, are so not old-fashioned. Well, which it's interesting to think that, because I feel like there are ways that there are these values that we might have that might feel more old-fashioned, right? Or feel more what would be considered conservative or traditional. But there is also the way in which we express that in the relationship or our communication or whatever. So just not to assume anything and kind of come in feeling like, can me and my partner create this relationship together in a way that yeah. works for both of us?
Yeah. And I think maybe there's some people listening who are like, what the hell is she talking about with these like energies of masculine and feminine? And like, you don't really know until you explore sexual polarity. So to yeah. keep it real simple, right. I mean, it really comes down to like very, like mutual respect and clear communication and a matching up of values about what's important to you. I mean, we could take it as simple as there, which is big, it's still really big. And you can enhance that by understanding the exchange of energy. So that, for example, as a woman, you have a career and then you come home from work and you're still in like super masculine mode, like let's get stuff done mode. Yeah. And your man wants you to like relax and be feminine and let him draw you a bath, you know, like let him take care of you. And a lot of women can't make that switch.
Yeah.
And so it's about communication for the man to, instead of getting his feathers ruffled about her acting like a bitch, he should be like, honey, why don't you go and get in the bath and then we'll talk once you've decompressed in an hour. And that kind of thing, so that she can slip back into her feminine and be, you know, the wife or the girlfriend, the partner, rather than the career woman. And so that's an example of communication and how that can play into helping you slip back into a good place with your partner. But a lot of people don't know how to do that. They just don't.
No, I feel like that. And that is what I hear you saying around this kind of boundary piece where we might be doing this work. And honestly, I don't want to stereotype, but it's true. Most of the time, women are the ones doing the work, you know, just in large numbers where we're out there doing the personal development, doing the workshops, reading the books, right? And like, how do I have an amazing relationship? And how do I increase my communication or bring sexy time back? And so then we come back to our partners. They may not be there at all. And what you said, I think, is the most key around the willingness, Because if your partner isn't willing to do that work with you, then you're right, there is a hard kind of truth to reach within yourself of, is this a deal breaker? Is this something that I need in my relationship to feel like my partner is willing to grow with me and evolve with me and for us to grow and evolve in our relationship? Like that's a question you gotta ask yourself.
Exactly. And that ties into something, a point I wanted to make today about like people being, it sounds so silly, but to make a list of your deal breakers, your requirements in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I had done that prior to my last one. And when I looked back at it after the relationship ended, I was like, wow, I think he met one of my 10 major requirements. One. And I said, why did I put time into a relationship where clearly this person wasn't meeting up with what I was looking for in a relationship, truly. And one of those requirements, by the way, was that willingness to grow together. And that's that mutual.
Okay.
Yeah. The spiritual aspect of it. Cause I do find that type of work very spiritual in nature. He just really wasn't into self-development in that regard, or spirituality in that way. So I think what was happening is that it forced me to kind of take a step back, and I was like, wow, I got really hurt by being so blown wide open by the energy work I was doing, because I didn't get really real with myself and say, what am I doing in this relationship? Is this person right for me? All I wanted was to make it work because I felt like I had new tools to make it work. Mm-hmm. And so it was almost like this, like, selfish thing where I was like, okay, I really want this partner. I really want a companion. I love the companionship. I really want a boyfriend, and I'm going to make this square peg fit in a round hole. I really am going to do it. And then, you know, that's a really bad decision to make, because I think it's so much more empowering if you can have the strength to walk away, even if you're in a chemical high of hormones raging because you're having great sex, right?
Oh, don't we all know that one, ladies? Well, and it's interesting, too, because in polyamory, they actually kind of have a term for that, and they just name it. Like, it's called NRE, New Relationship Energy. And they just know, look, the first 6 months to 8 months when you're in an open relationship and you meet a new partner, you're going to have that. And it is that all-consuming energy, right? Where you're just like, nothing exists except my partner and this amazing bond we have. And it will fade. And not to say that something might not be there in its place that's more stable and grounded and sustainable, but to not acknowledge that that's just a natural part of any new relationship.
Yeah. Although, like in my experience, that only lasted for maybe a month. And then after that, a lot of other problems kind of came into play, which are outside of the realm of what we're talking about, but just discoveries about differences in value systems, differences in the way we looked at different issues. All kinds of things. Our upbringing, just everything was so dramatically like different and opposing that at that point it should have been clear that I was like, okay, I'm going to get out of this. And there were a lot of moments when I was like, this isn't right. I know this isn't right. This doesn't feel right, but the sex is good. And I love the routine, that this companionship routine of we get together every day. I just love it. It's, you know, my new best friend.
Right.
So, you know, my big message that I want to leave to listeners, and I mean, this is whether you're a male or a female, is get real with yourself and don't give away your your sexual body. Or your heart so quickly. Give it some time. Give yourself time to really get to know somebody. And I'm not saying, I know a lot of people are like, what? Are you asking me to wait 3 months to have sex with somebody? No, because I can't do that either.
I know. Let's be real. This is about
let's
real talk.
Be real.
No one's going to be waiting 3 months to have sex.
But you don't have to dive in on date three either. And I think it makes sense to like start really thinking about questions to ask and things you really want to know about somebody without interviewing them, just naturally, organically getting to know them. And, you know, really getting to the heart of whether or not they'd be actually somebody that you want to continue to get to know or not. Because I knew early on that this was not somebody who matched up with what I was looking for, but I still tried to make it work. And that's something that I still struggle with. I'm like, why the hell did I do that? You know? And again, it comes back to like people just love companionship or they have that chemical high, and you have to be really careful. That's all.
Well, and I think there is also that piece around, you know, we see the potential in people. I know this happens a lot,
huge.
Right? Like we see the potential in people and we're like, oh, but if they only da, 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 da. And then it becomes dangerous because again, we're doing all this work over here on energy work and polarity work. And so we're like, oh, but now I have the tools to then basically help them reach their potential.
Okay. So that's such a great point. And I'm so glad you brought that up because that actually played into my situation too, where like, I felt like, just on a different level in terms of all the resources that I get through my podcast. And I'm sure you know what that's like. You just talk to so many different people about so many different things. You're like, oh, I know a little bit about this and a little bit about that. And you get excited. And then, you know, that person does something that is opposing to your beliefs or whatever. And then they say, I'm sorry. I really want to change this. And so as a human, as an empathic human, especially, you're going to be like, oh, of course, you know, why would I just tell you to F off? Like, I'm going to give you a chance and let's try this again. Then it happens again. And then it becomes a, like, in my case, it was like me turning into like mommy, like, and him feeling like, don't tell me what I need to be doing. And I'm tired of hearing about what you're learning on your podcast. You know, and so it's I saw potential and I tried to work with it and fix it.
Yeah.
And turn it into something. Again, the square peg in a round hole, make it fit what I wanted. And you cannot change people like that unless they're on the same page as you and they are willing to do the work. And this person was not willing to do the work. And then I got blamed for all of the problems. So I think, you know, you have to be with somebody who's at the same headspace as you. I think it's so crucial. And to constantly look back at your list of requirements and what you really, really need and want in your life and what will feel like a good complement to who you are. Be whole in yourself before you seek out a partner. Don't be seeking someone to complete you. That's so wrong. You're going to be disappointed on every level. They'll never meet up to what you need because nobody can complete you but yourself.
Oh yeah. No one's perfect either, because that's the thing. It's, I do believe in, you know, there's perfect relationships for you, like this person that will kind of be a bit of a perfect match for you. But the thing is, we look at it like the person needs to be perfect and the relationship needs to be perfect, but that's not realistic. Nothing, no one's perfect in that. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. No one's perfect.
Right.
And we have these like ideals that we're going to put on these people. And that just, I mean, I know that I did it with my ex of 2.5 years and it was funny too, because in some ways, I thought he was willing. So here's another kind of shadow side to this whole willingness conversation, because he did. I went to this awesome transformational workshop, and the deal was I would go first, and then if I thought it was cool, like you would, he would then do it, and then we ended up doing it together. But I think because in his mind, he was like, uh-oh, we're kind of having problems, or uh-oh, if I don't do this, Natalie's going to leave me. Right. His reasoning for it, his intention behind it wasn't actually for him. It was to protect. Yeah. Right. And because he felt threatened. And so he went in with that. And so for a while we're going and it seems fine, but shit's coming up and we're working through it. And but it's still kind of rocky. But then when we did get to our breaking point later and we left, he like reverted right back to where he was. And he was just, yeah. And then he was condemning all the work that we did and he was blaming it on that, like
yes.
workshops. Yes. Right. And so it's just like, where's the intention there? So someone can be willing on the surface, right? But there needs to be this like true desire inside for them to want to be the best version of themselves.
Yeah, because there are three pieces to every relationship. There's you, there's your partner, and then there's the two of you.
Right.
And so if you're not doing the work on yourself, and if they're not doing work on themselves, then how are the two of you going to be able to function together? You know, it's like one person can't do the work for everyone.
No, that's a lot. It's a lot to carry. It's heavy.
Yeah.
It's burdensome. Like, you're going to be burnt out
yeah.
at a certain point and then resentful.
Yeah. Totally. And that's where it becomes like you're acting like my mom. You know what I mean? Like, you're trying to tell me how to be.
Hard truth, because we are in those moments, because I know I've done it multiple times over.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people relate to that. And of course, there are probably men listening who also think that there have been times when they felt like they needed to like save the girl mm-hmm. and rescue her and mm-hmm. all of that kind of stuff too. So I think it goes both ways, where it's like he's kind of like the father figure and has to lead her along her way. And neither is a good situation. They're both dysfunctional. And, you know, there are going to be dysfunctional aspects of any relationship, yeah. I think. But I think what it comes down to is that, like you said, that willingness piece and the intention behind it. Are you both truly willing to work it out? And if things are that bad and you can't seem to come to agreements on things, then give it a time frame and be like, hey, or seek out a third party, because I think a lot of people also resist getting help from the outside. I know the person that I had been in a relationship was like very resistant to that idea, and that disappointed me, because that said something. That said, okay, you're not really that into fixing this then. Because you're not willing to have someone from the outside perspective look inside and see it from a new angle, because we only see what we see.
And I really wish we would go one step further, because I know a lot of people are resistant to getting help around their relationships, because I get it. It's intimate. Like, you don't want someone to be all up in your relationship's business, and it's private, and it's, you know, all of that. But what happens is then we get into crisis mode, and then that's when we're seeking help, and then this defensiveness comes up, and because then we have to admit that we have a problem, etc. But if we were to even go one step further, or even before, and say, from the outset, can we have support? Like, I have a really good friend of mine, him and his now wife were going to therapy from like when they were dating. Because
no, that's interesting.
For him, it was just to learn tools together, right? To have an outside perspective.
That's awesome. Who's that guy?
Oh, yeah. my friend Aaron Steinberg. He's going to be on the podcast at some point too, but he's like a relationship awesome. Wizard. Definitely. And I always remember him talking about that, because it was such a fresh perspective to say, it's not that there's something wrong. We just from the beginning want to make it solid, and we want to learn, and we want to grow, and we want to have the tools to be able to build a strong relationship. And
right.
then it's way less confronting and challenging to when things do happen, right? Because you're already kind of in that flow, instead of we've mm-hmm. never gotten help, now we're fucking breaking down.
Right. Well, that's assuming, though, that both people are going into the dating situation with that intention of having to build a relationship, of having a long-term relationship. And that's very rare to find, because I can think of people off the top of my head, people who are close to me. It took them 3 years to get into a space where they're finally willing to commit and be exclusive to someone. Mm-hmm. You know, and they just needed that time to like figure it out and really know if it was something they wanted or not. And so, sure. I mean, kudos to that woman, by the way, for sticking around and waiting. But now he's finally on board, you know, like that kind of thing. But some people just move slowly. Like, they have a lot of baggage or a lot of hurt and a lot of walls up. And so you have to be with somebody who has that readiness, and they've done work already, and they're at a point now where they're willing to do some more. Because I think you can do a ton of work on yourself and think that you're right there, but if you don't have the right partner, you could go crashing back to where you were before.
Well, and I think that's the part I remember even just thinking about when you were writing around, you know, having this conversation, that, you know, especially in situations where you have been really hurt, or you have had some trauma around relationship, right? Or some insecurities and fears. And naturally, a relationship is going to bring that stuff up. It's kind of designed to do that, for you to either heal it or learn the lesson to like, I no longer am going to kind of deal with this, drawing boundaries. But unless you are with someone again that's willing to do that, it's just gonna be worse. Like you're just it's gonna be like this trauma vortex that you get into
Yes.
together. That's a slippery slope and it's dangerous.
Very. Especially if you're coming out of, like you said, a transformational type of workshop or just general work that you've been doing over a period of time. And then you get into a relationship with someone who purposely learns about your vulnerabilities and provokes them for amusement. We could have a whole nother podcast about narcissists and people, with borderline personality disorder.
Right. Well, but that is also
But
that kind of
yeah.
like know what you're dealing with and working with and be real about stuff like trauma and kind of our behavioral patterns and mental patterns and all of that. So like that's important to know.
Yeah.
And going to a workshop is just not going to make them like go away. It's
No.
tools to strengthen it, but we do, it's like it's a litany of things to make
Right.
a successful relationship.
Right. And I think it's tough sometimes because in the beginning, a lot of people put their best face on, so it's not the real you. So for the first 3 months, everyone's on their best behavior, usually. That makes it difficult too, because then you get kind of sucked into the fantasy. And I think a lot of women put this thing in their head of who they want this man to be or who they think he can be for them, rather than seeing him who he really is. And that's the biggest mistake that I made, I think, was not only being way too open too soon, but also believing that he could be husband number two in some way when there was like so many reasons why he couldn't be that in my life. Like if I looked at him as who he really was, and I'm not saying that, I'm not saying anything except that I ignored signs that he was not the right match for me.
Yeah,
You know?
there's a an excerpt from the Don Miguel Ruiz book called Mastery of Love that I love, where he says, if you wanted a cat because you're a cat person and you really, really want a cat, and then you go to the shelter and you're getting ready to get a cat, and then you get a dog, and then you take the dog home and you're trying to make the dog into a cat. And you're like, meow, cat, meow, dog, meow, And he's like, that is absurd, right? But we do the same thing in relationship. We know what
Yes.
we want, right? But then we end up with somebody and then we're trying to change them into the thing that we want instead of just getting the thing that we want.
Exactly. Exactly. I was like ready for a relationship. I thought I had done all this work, and I was like, that was the first person that kind of developed into a space where it could have been that. And there was a lot talked about that made it seem like it was going to be headed in that direction. So I was like, oh, okay, this guy's ready. Let's do the work. And then I just dove in, heart first, head first, all of it. And then just was like, duh. Like there were just tons of red flags about why it was not a good idea. And I ignored them all because I was on my own little personal mission. So, again, I think it comes back to just like being. Just taking your time, really understanding what you're looking for, and instead of getting too caught up in the fantasy or the chemicals or both.
Yeah, and I'm just gonna second that just so you all know too. Like I have also been guilty of that with my first like long-term partnership because I was just in that space. I hadn't had a relationship in a while and I was starting to think there was something wrong with me or whatever. And I probably was coming from the other extreme of I just felt like I just need to get into a relationship because otherwise, I feel like there's something wrong with me. Instead of really allowing myself to be patient and wait for like the right person, and this person came along, and in a lot of ways he was amazing, and we did have a great relationship. But like you said, from the very beginning, there were these very clear red flags that I just blew past, and/or we talked about, and then he explained away, and I was like, okay, great.
Right. The explaining away makes it even more difficult to walk away, because then you're like, well,
I
maybe
mean.
he will change. And you all, yeah. And that's where I think, and this is something that I'll probably do soon, is where a relationship coach can really come in handy, because they can kind of help you along every step and be like, wait a minute, step back. Why are you giving your heart away? Think about this from a rational perspective rather than, have you spread your legs yet? Don't do it. You know, maybe I should become a relationship coach just to be that person.
I mean, we could all use that advice from time
get
to time.
Get a vibrator. Get a vibrator. There are other ways to deal with this.
Slow your sexual roll. Oh my God, this is amazing. Is there anything else that you want to kind of throw out? As I know you had so many gems and words of wisdom, but if there's anything in conclusion to share with the listeners.
I think the biggest takeaway would be just to take your time. Really know what you're looking for and what's important to you. What's really important to you? Like, I know I need to be with somebody who's super creative. Yeah. Whether that's writing or shooting film or being in the entertainment industry in some capacity or just, it doesn't matter, but they have to be creating something. Yeah. And, you know, I've chosen relationships in the past where the person was like, had not one creative bone in their body. Mm. And I was like, still trying to make it work. And they thought that I was nuts because I was so like, with my, you know, like, with all my creative work. And they thought that it was just weird. And they thought that I belonged in a 9-to-5. So I think stay close to your requirements in what you're looking for, what's important to you, what's going to make you happy and sharing your life with somebody. And just take your time. That's probably the biggest advice I could give there. Yeah. Stop jumping in because you think you need a boyfriend or a girlfriend or because you just want companionship and company or because you think your biological clock is ticking. Mm-hmm. Just take your time. What will be, will be.
Yes, words of wisdom. Thank you so much. And if people want to find you and learn more about you or hire you or be on your podcast, whatever, yes. How can they find you?
Indeed. You can find my podcast information at ladyfoxentertainment.com, where you can search, you know, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, any of the streaming platforms for Nothing Off Limits, which is the name of the podcast. I cover a lot of different topics. And then also you can find me on Twitter, Lady Fox Official, Instagram, ladyfox.entertainment. Or if you want to hire me for voiceover or hosting, go to michelleanneowens.com. And Natalie, you're awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Michelle. This is amazing. I have a feeling this is not going to be the last time we jam.
I need to get you on my podcast.
Sweet. Let's do it.
So let's do that.
Awesome.
All right, cool.
I love you so much. Thank you.
Love you back, girl.
Well, there you have it, folks. The straight shooting, sassy, sweet Michelle Ann Owens. I hope you got a lot out of that conversation, especially around gauging for yourself the work that needs to be done in relationship, whether it's on your own or with your partner. And we would really love if you could subscribe to the podcast and leave a rating or a review on iTunes and Stitcher. It really does help us get up in the rankings, and then more people can hear these really needed conversations. Until next time.